Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Meditating today on our reading from Romans 15 and the theme of welcome the other, each Sunday in Advent we're looking at a different type of welcome, and this morning welcoming the other, and especially from Romans 15 and especially from verse 7 that I'll just repeat to you. Paul writes, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for welcoming us into your family through your Son. We pray that you would make us a welcoming people, welcoming of others as well, into our lives, into the faith, into the church. Lord, bless us as we meditate on your words that help us to do that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, our congregation took part in a future planning workshop that a number of you were a part of. One of the things I remember our facilitator, Stephen Schultz, saying to us was that most Lutheran churches, I think he was talking about in particular, are not as welcoming places as they like to think they are, or words to that effect. Now, if you were there and you heard Pastor Stephen say that, you might have been tempted to think, hey, who do you think you are? You don't know us. You can't say that about us. Get out of our Maybe he's got a point. You see, I think we like the theory of being welcoming, but we find the practice of being welcoming somewhat harder. Now, I don't think this is a distinctly Lutheran problem. I don't even think this is a distinctly Christian problem. I think this is a very human problem. Because as human beings, we get very comfortable with who we are and where we are and who's around us. And we forget perhaps what it's like to be someone outside of that circle. Some of the challenges, the barriers that are faced. And therefore what it really means to be a welcoming community. I want to show you a clip this morning that some of you may have seen, but it was produced in the US by an interdenominational group that runs something called National Back to Church Sunday, which you may have heard of, encouraging people on this one Sunday of the year at least to come back to their local church. What I think the clip does is help us reflect on some of the barriers and some of the challenges people face in being welcomed into the Christian faith and welcomed into the church. Let's watch.
Here's a few reasons why people don't go to church.
I can't come to church until I get my life together.
Church is how I got my life together.
Church is filled with a bunch of hypocrites.
And there's always room for one more.
All they care about is your money.
They care about me, not about my money.
Is there some kind of dress code?
Yes, the code is wear some clothes.
Church, it just makes me nervous.
I was nervous at first, and then I felt right at home.
I'm not sure I believe everything that you believe.
But you can still belong.
Church is for wimpy, girly men.
You want to say that again?
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't want me.
If you knew me and what I've done, you wouldn't be worried.
You can come to my church even if you were brought up Catholic,
Baptist,
Methodist,
Jewish,
Mormon,
Lutheran,
Pentecostal,
Presbyterian,
Church of Christ,
Southern Baptist.
A little bit of everything and a whole lot of nothing.
See, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship.
So please, come to my church.
Where nobody's perfect.
Where beginners are welcome.
Where socks are optional, but grace is required.
Where forgiveness is offered.
Where hope is alive.
And where it's okay to not be okay. Really.
So I'll show you that this morning just to help us think through some of the barriers, some of the challenges people face. Mainly, this is talking about to step into a church building or a church service, but I think we could say to come into the Christian faith or closer to it at all. Some of those barriers are very real, some of them are a little bit imagined, but they're all very important to the people experiencing them. Now, our challenge of how to be a welcoming people, welcoming to anyone, whoever they are, whatever their starting point, I think can be helped, and we can gain some insights from this example in the early church from Romans 15. What Paul gives us here is what I would call a foundation, a methodology, and a goal for why we would welcome the other, welcome other people. Now, the other in the case of Romans 15 is the Gentiles, so the non-Jewish believers. And the onus in Paul's letter is especially on the Jewish believers to make every attempt possible to welcome these new Gentile believers into their community and into their midst. Paul says, "Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God." Now, I would say this is not just the foundation of our Christian friendship, of our Christian hospitality, but this is, in some sense, the foundation of our whole Christian lives. God has welcomed us. God has drawn us in. God has made us, by grace, His children, His people, through faith in Christ. We've been baptized in His name, washed by His Spirit, welcomed by His Word. And the call then on our lives is to extend that same welcome to the world in which we live. Now, it's not just that God accepts us as we are, as we sometimes say. That's true. But God welcomes us despite the way we are, because that's the way He is. So the important first point for Paul is not on the character of you Christians, but the character of God in welcoming you as His people, and then inviting you into the process of welcoming others to that same grace. Paul says, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." So the word of welcome comes to us through Scripture and through the Word of God, and that is a word that is to instruct us, to encourage us, to fill us with endurance and ultimately hope. All of it, even the challenging parts of it, have that goal. And later Paul goes on and he gives these examples of passages in the Old Testament that had to do with the inclusion of the Gentiles. "Rejoice, O Gentiles. There will come from the root of Jesse a king," you know, "and he will be the hope of the Gentiles." And so Paul's saying to people, you know this word of God, this word of instruction, this word of comfort, this word that challenges you, this word that teaches you, this word that corrects you, this word that breathes hope into your lives. Well, guess what? It's not just for you. From the whole Old Testament, he establishes the fact that this is for other people than just you too. This is for them out there as well as us in here, if you want to put it in those terms. So that's the foundation, that it has come to you, that it has been part of your life, and now the call is for it to overflow into the lives of others. Paul says, "The God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another." So first, we recognize the harmony we have with God, and what a blessed thing that is. And secondly, we go to work and we go to prayer and we see it as our duty to extend that same welcome to the world in which we're living. So who's the them for us? For the Jews, it was the Gentiles. We are, in a sense, Gentiles. So who are we to welcome? I would say the other, in this case, is anyone who's different to us in any way. So it might be people of other denominations or other generations or other nationalities or anyone who's different to what we see ourselves as being. Maybe it's those really confusing people in your church who worship at a different time to you do, you know? Different worship style, something like that. I think it's especially meaning those people who are outside the Christian faith, maybe even hostile to the Christian faith. So in a sense, anyone, right, who's not like you are, anyone who is different to you, you are called to be welcoming of. Now, what does it mean to welcome in the Bible? To welcome literally in the Bible is to take to yourself, right? To draw in, to draw close. It can mean to take into your home, to welcome people into your home. It can at other places mean to welcome food into your body. Not that I'm suggesting we start eating each other or anything like that. But it has this sense of drawing things in, right? Bringing things close. That's what the word welcome means. So to welcome as Christians is to draw people close. It's to encourage them to come near. Now that can be challenging. It can be very confronting. But it is one of the great tasks of the Christian church. An analogy that might be helpful is the one I use with the children, inviting people into your home. Now, if you think about the steps that you go through, and many of them are quite clear cultural steps that we take to invite people into our homes. Firstly, it's usually people we know and have some relationship, some connection with. Secondly, we'll invite them formally in some sense, maybe by negotiation, what works for you, what works for us. Usually there's a few questions that get asked about, you know, is there any food your kids don't like to eat? Those sort of things. Questions that help break down some of the barriers and make that path a little bit easier. So there's this process we go through to mean that when someone comes into our home, into our little world, that it's a positive thing. And it's a helpful thing. Like showing them around, right? This is where things are. Even that is a step in welcoming people into our little existence. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean when you welcome people into your home to a family meal that everything changes to suit them. They don't necessarily want that, I don't think, or expect that. They know they're coming into somewhere new. They know that place has got its own practices and rituals and traditions, and there's a reason for them. And so part of the welcome is in time to also help them see why those things are like they are. And I think it's the same with the church. We want to be incredibly aware of others, their barriers, the challenges of stepping foot into a church or coming into the Christian faith, however that might happen, whatever that might look like, to be incredibly aware of that, not to think that therefore that means everything has to change, right, to suit that particular person or group, but to know that that's going to create a tension and that the onus is on us to help them make that jump, whatever it might be. So that's an analogy that might help, because I think it's similar with the church. You know, Pope Benedict had this great saying, the church should be always proposing, never imposing. Always inviting, always welcoming, always suggesting, always encouraging. Never forcing itself on people, never inflicting wounds on people, never, you get the idea, always proposing, never imposing. I think it's a great way for us to live our lives. When we think about inviting people into our lives, into our homes, into our churches, into our conversations about God, the plan is to kind of make it as accessible for them as we can while still being faithful to who we are and what we're about. I tend to think the methodology then comes about by partly our attitude, a humble attitude, a sensitive attitude, a gentle attitude, a respectful attitude, and I think all of those things go a long way to helping people feel welcomed in the Christian world or the Christian faith or the Christian church. Now, for a slightly different method and a slightly different approach, see John the Baptist, right? Far more in your face, if you like, and more confronting. And of course, there's a place for that, especially that was his role. And maybe sometimes there's a place for that in our own churches or our own preaching or interactions. But I'd say we need to be fairly careful with it and how we live that out. Talk more about that next week. The methodology, this is just scraping the surface, right? Just scraping the surface of how we begin to welcome people. But we've got to be sure of the foundation. And then we've got to be aware of where people are coming from, where they're at, and who we are to help get over those barriers. Why? What's the goal? Why would we put ourselves through it? You know yourself, if you've ever tried to engage people in a conversation about Christianity or invite them to something at the church, whatever it might be, you know that it can be hard. You know that it can cause tension in relationships. You know that it can bring kickback. So why would we do it? What's the point? Paul says that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The goal is it's unity in Christ, it's harmony in Christ, it's worshiping together, and it's ultimately the glory of God. The glory of God. It's not that everyone would like us, it's that everyone would know that God likes them. That's what we're working for. Right? And sometimes along the way, we might cop a bit of rejection or whatever it might be, because we're working to that goal, the glory of God, and not the glory of the individual, which is often what we would like, but sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't. The goal is the glory of God. Paul says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May the God of hope, may the God of the Holy Spirit fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit so that you may abound in hope. This real focus at the end of Romans on the gift of hope, the God of hope. Karl Barth says, above, before, and behind every single human endeavor, there stands the God of hope. As you go about trying to be a welcoming people, as we go about trying to be a welcoming community, above, before, and behind every single endeavor, there stands the God of hope. This is the God we want people to meet. Because this is the God we've met, is it not? The God of hope. The God who welcomes people, not because of how welcoming they are, but because of how welcoming He is. That's the God of hope. The God who welcomes you into what? The joy and peace of believing. The joy and peace of believing. That's what He wants for you, but that's what He wants for people who are not you as well. The joy and peace of believing. This is our God of hope who prays that, who we pray that His hope would be in our lives and overflow from our lives into the lives of others. So I wonder if there's someone in your life who you think needs the God of hope. You know, maybe they're like the people in that clip. Maybe you're like one of the people in that clip. But maybe you know someone like the people in that clip and you think, I could welcome them. At least invite them. Encourage them in some way to know the God of hope and to hear the message of hope, which is the message of Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we prepare for the Christmas season, to come to You as our God of hope and hear once again the message of hope, the message of Your Son, Jesus, born for us, help us to be a welcoming people, to know how best to invite and encourage others into the faith we have found. Lord, make us open, gentle, respectful, sensitive to where people are coming from, while remaining faithful to who You have called us to be. Lord, bless us as we seek to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.